All right, I am so excited to share my testimony this morning. The Lord, He has been so good. To introduce us, this is my husband Josiah. You probably met him. You probably heard him preaching. And this is my son Jeremiah. You've probably heard him screaming. And this is this one right here. He's just getting started. This is Judah. And so, I'm sure you've heard the scripture say that the Lord, how He orders the steps of the righteous. And I think about like righteousness. I don't have any of that. Order, I don't have any of that. But this is a story how the Lord, Christ brought both righteousness and order to my life. And just to prepare you for what's coming next, you're going to buckle up because I'm moving quickly. First, for those sensitive ears, there is going to be some topics. I'm going to cover my parents, early trauma, school, young adult rebellion, Christ's regeneration, and my life thereafter. So there will be some times where I will use terms like inappropriate touching or perversion, but I will be no more explicit than that, okay? And also, there is a picture that of me with a person with a demon clown costume. So that could be upsetting. So I will warn you when we are about to come to that, so you can look away or leave, but really no other image would work. Okay? All right, so I'm gonna pray us in. God, man, your sovereignty blows my mind. Thank you so much for writing the story of my life in your blood. And it is my great honor to serve you by sharing it. And so just, Lord, I just pray that you get all the glory and out of this. And we just thank you so much. Amen. All right, let's get it. All right, I'm going to have green screens where I'm going to read scriptures. And I'm going to try not to comment on them much because we got a lot to get through. All right, Psalm 139, 13 through 16. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days of ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. All right, so, sorry, some of that is yellow. Oh, you can still see it. So I'm going to talk about my parents here quickly jump into some of the things based on that. Okay, so first, this is my dad and my mom. My dad is a secular humanist / atheist, and my mom is a Christian, okay? And so I think you can remember in times in scripture where the Lord said, don't do that. And then sometimes they had kids when they did that. And I'm those kids, those kinds of kids. And so because of this, I always felt like somewhat of an abomination. Because I am not supposed to happen, according to ignorant me. It's really crazy that this happened because my mom, they got married in the church I grew up in, and my mom and dad went to premarital counseling. And my mom inquired about, you know, well, I feel like James may not love the Lord. And this pastor gave her the advice that, like, you know, it'll be okay. You're really a praying woman, which is really poor advice that led to my existence. So praise the Lord for that. eventually they got divorced, but we'll talk about that later. So my dad, he's a cool dude. He's so much fun. He's a really solid secular humanist. Like, he lives that full well. And my dad, he went to college to be a journalist. He was a journalist until he retired, and now he's a professor teaching journalism, okay? He set a course, made it, did it. Now, my mom, she did it all. So, like, and I'm not going to, like, really go through all of these, but the most important ones are from bank clerk to daycare owner-operator. So when my parents got divorced, my mom was depressed. She was, ashamed and really unable to do anything. She was petrified. And so when they went to court initially, my dad was lawyered up because this is his second round at this. And my mom only had a public defender that she talked to half an hour before this, the court date, the court, yeah. And so she got up to the stand just so afraid of what would happen because, you know, my dad was prepared for this and she was not. And as soon as she took the stand, she did not have to say one word because there was a bomb threat. A bomb threat. Yeah, yeah. So glory be to God, my mom. So glory be to God that my mom got more time to get ready, okay? And somewhat in this season, my mom went from working, she was working at National City Bank, which is now PNC. And during that time, there was a merger. So this is when it was becoming PNC, and they were offering severance packages. And so she had a little bit of time to lawyer up, switch positions, and go from bank clerk, she did some of these other things, to daycare owner operator. And she did that because she never wanted to put me in daycare so that she could work full-time and be a stay-at-home mom at the same time. No one ever, besides my mom, picked me up or took me from school or took me to school. I always was with my mom or my grandparents round the clock. And so that was because, you know, she made this switch, and it was timely that the Lord, a bomb threat, as random as it is, you will see some of through this story, some of these things seem random. Okay, but so because of this, I ended up with my mom, and my dad had to pay child support, and we got the house, okay? So, which was, pretty a big blessing right there. Okay, and so my parents' perspective on God. So my dad, like I said, he's a pretty good secular humanist, so God is imaginary. But my mom is, a Christian, a devout Christian, but through some father wounds, the idea of who God is, he is really scary and he's hard to please, okay? So this is what I come up with. And so my dad, because he's like doesn't really believe in morality, I can think of like three things he told me to do in life. One is life is better with more options, and so, like, get a good job, have enough money so you can choose what you do. It's nice to do life with a partner, so, you know, it's nice to have a spouse or whatever you want to call a partner. And don't get arrested, because if you do that, your life will be worse. And then my mom, like, kind of the lessons about life from her, you know, life is just really hard. There's like, it's a struggle. Just don't end up in hell. And people will use you, then betray you. Probably due to some father wounds and maybe some husband wounds as well, okay? So this is where I start off in life. My dad was married 3 times, mom was married once. Okay, here comes the next important thing. So my dad is a firm believer in public school. And so I started off in preschool and kindergarten, I went to public school. But my mom dreams of me going to Christian school, okay? And in her dreams, she dreamt of the Dayton Christian that's like Northwest Dayton, kind of close to where Dominion is. But I never went there. Okay, let me get the next slide. Okay. So yeah, I never went there. We'll come back to that. So during the time of my parents' divorce, one time there was a friend of mine who came over, and she invited me to engage in some inappropriate touching. Okay, so this was a trauma. Okay, and I thereafter I was really wounded, but there was no space for that because my parents were occupied with their divorce. And I changed fundamentally after this. I kind of saw myself as not female. So I would go so far as to do things like a regular thing that I would do is if I would meet people in the grocery store, I would put my hood on and see if they could guess if I was a little boy or a little girl. And like stuff like that carried all through my childhood. So like, you know, really traumatized by that. And then my dad remarries. And so I got some stepbrothers and stepsisters. And I think that because my parents were so much older when I came around, that they had some freedom, some money by the time I came of age, and I was just kind of lived a better life than they did. I went to private school, I had braces, and things that the parents never gave them. My older siblings were kind of pit against me like that, kind of like your Joseph situation, and they would always make fun of me for being small or weak, my brothers, I'm 7 and 10 years younger than them, and so of course I can't do the things they do or think as well as they think, but they would always make fun of me, and so I'd always feel really bad about being small and weak. And so that just fuels kind of my hatred somewhat of being female, and because that is small and weak and all of that. And I was unreasonably competitive, and that's still something I'm working through. And I just couldn't win at anything. So much so that I would like things like Barbies, I would destroy them in very sadistic ways. And not so much that I was like hated people, but I hated the image. I hated the image, which is a false image of femininity. So we will, but this is where I started off. And I'm gonna read scripture. Ezekiel 16:3-4. And say, this is what the sovereign Lord says to Jerusalem. Your ancestry and birth were in the land of the Canaanites. Your father was an Amorite and your mother a Hittite. On the day you were born, your cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to make you clean, nor were you rubbed with salt or wrapped in cloths. No one looked on you with pity or had compassion enough to do any of these things for you. Rather, you were thrown out into the open field, for on the day you were born, you were despised. Then I passed by you and saw you kicking about in your blood. And as you lay there in your blood, I said to you, live. All right, so by God's grace, another wonderful thing happened is my dad's child support matched what tuition would cost for me to go to Dayton Christian. All right, and like I said, I never went to the big school that was downtown, which is God's grace, because when the divorce proceedings were happening, prior to that, I had some inappropriate encounters while I was in kindergarten, but I ended up having to go to this tiny little school called Dayton Christian Sugar Grove in Tibb City, which was God's grace because there was a much better student to teacher ratio. So none of this inappropriate stuff ever happened at school when I went to Dayton Christian. But my mom was really sad because she's like, I dreamed of you going here, but by God's grace, I ended up going to a little tiny school in Tip City, okay? So when I was in elementary, I like got good grades, but I was so mean to the other students because I always felt like I always get picked on and beat up at home. So I'm going to extend that to others because I felt like I could feel strong and important that way. And what happened is in my elementary school, it went up to sixth grade. And then they took the crazy thing. They moved this tiny little school. And so that I didn't have to go to the big school downtown, when they moved it, they added the seventh grade. And then they added the eighth grade. And then like my tiny little school is gonna close, but then they opened the one in Miamisburg, so I never went downtown. And the one in Miamisburg was better because I heard stories of the one downtown. But the one in Miamisburg was better because there was more security set in place. So the Lord was guarding me in a lot of ways all the way back. And so, okay, when I get to middle school, I start to get obsessed with my friends, okay? And when I say obsessed, I want you to think creepy, because if you don't think creepy, you are not thinking what I mean when I say obsessed. And so much so that, I would be practicing in the mirror conversations, facial expressions, how I would say things, and I was just like so consumed. They liked me, but they had to like me more. I had to be their favorite person. They had to choose me above all else. I really wanted that. And then by this time, I'm in trouble all the time at school, and that's really a hardship on my mom because she's trying to run the business, but it's a daycare, so she can pack up all the kids and pick me up again because I'm getting kicked out of school. When I was 12, I went to a conference, and at this conference, I'm meandering about aimlessly, as is per usual but for me, and I just hear this internal voice just saying, Teresa, like, I just see an internal voice. And it was bizarre to me, but I like recognized it as something supernatural. I knew enough about that sort of thing to see that it was. But there was a worship service. And I remember like laying on the ground under these chairs at this hotel in their little conference center, and like being overwhelmed with trying to express like how wonderful the Lord is. And out of that came my prayer language. And I came from a church where it was almost forbidden. But the Lord, he really met me there. And from that point on, I can recall hearing his voice. So that was an inciting moment for that. Okay, so my friend obsession grows, and I get extra creepy because I have the power of the internet now. So when I was in middle school, I just had a standard cell phone, and our home computer was dial up. But in parts at high school, that changed, and I don't think anyone really noticed that how obsessed I was with my friends, and how like I wanted them to choose me above all else, like to be chosen. And I graduate 89th out of 98. So a lot of people below me maybe didn't graduate, and one girl died. So it's like real low, like just terrible. And because I didn't take time to do homework because I was on my computer being a creep. And so I don't have time for homework. And by God's grace, enter Cindy Good and Hope Rising. Oh yeah, praise God. So like I really had not made many decisions about what I was gonna do as far as sexual purity. And that was, I wasn't as decided as I would have said in a class. But after walking through this thing with Cindy Good, I made some decisions, and one thing that I kind of rehearsed in all of those, one thing I really solidified is that I don't want anyone but my husband to father my children. And like, I could decide that much as my aimless, silly self. And also, this peer perversion halts due to some of these talks because I was like really scared. We're going to read a scripture. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other language as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, a church that doesn't believe in this, aka. And we all hear these people speaking in our own language about the wonderful things God has done. Okay, I think I did the slide again. Which, back to this. So this was really important because pretty soon I was going to be in an environment where this needed to be decided because I got my first job. Yeah. So I ended up going to Sinclair. And like not the first semester after I graduated high school, because I was just like not doing anything. And my mom's like, you gotta do something. So I started going to Sinclair and I studied law and psychology. I got a job at Waffle House. You know, I just didn't, I mean, and then I started going to Solid Rock because I was being creepy with this one friend, okay? So, like, my job, the church that I was going to was kind of falling apart before, but, like, I could have gone to any church that was within a 50-mile radius. But this, I ended up going this because I'm being creepy. Yeah, and so, and, like, I'm like, totally serious. Like, and so I'm obsessed with this friend, and she ends up going to Southeastern University. Super obsessed. And, okay, so this is an incident that happened. So for a while, I was working at the Waffle House and working in my mom's daycare and going to school full time and overnight helping her move, okay? And so, like, I was devastated because she's going to, like, not come home to Ohio anymore. She's moving to another state, which people should do. But during this time, I was so dead tired that I couldn't drive, but I drove anyway because I don't want to be weak. And I ended up getting T-boned in Huber Heights. And I hit my head on the wall such that it, like, swole up really big. And so, like, I really don't have much of an income or anything at this point. And I happened to be with people from the church. And they prayed for me, and it was divine healing. They called the ambulance because of the way I looked when the crash happened. But by the time I got to the hospital, my head had gone down, and I didn't even have a headache. But it would have been super expensive if I actually needed some procedure to be done. And at this point, I didn't have health insurance. So praise God, he healed me then. Like, his mercy, man, when I am not following him at all, okay? Here we go. Wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose words are twisted. These men turn from the right way to walk down dark paths. They take pleasure in doing wrong, and they enjoy the twisted ways of evil. Their actions are crooked, and their ways are wrong. So here, there's an image. This is me at Southeastern. I promise you, I actually took this picture here. And it couldn't be any perfect, more perfect, but there is... It could be scary for some. It has a person dressed in a demon clown outfit. Okay? So if you don't want to look at it, I warned you. All right. Here we go. All right. So this is me at Southeastern University. And I went against my mom's wishes. Like, she was like, what are you doing? She might have had some insight. Like, maybe my daughter's being creepy. Maybe. I think she wanted to be optimistic, but she should have gone with her gut. And so I did it against her wishes. And so I had mediocre grades. I was obsessed with hanging out with friends. The obsession grew because I really didn't have the filter of a job or having to go home with my mom. Like the creepiness only compounded. Yeah, like to the point that I would take a picture like this. Yeah, and if you know me now, like, no, not at all. So like, even though I'm going to this Christian university, and I don't want to bash them at all. This is a good place for a lot of people. It's spirit-filled. We had chapels. There were a lot of good things that I did learn there, but I just shouldn't have been there. This is a Jonah type thing. And even though I'm in the midst of all this, agnosticism is starting to grow. But, you know, like, it's a closeted agnosticism. I'm, like, not going to talk about the fact that I don't know that God is real anymore. So what happened is it got bigger and bigger. So you know how idolatry is. So I had made an idol out of my friends, and idols always demand a sacrifice. Okay, so there was a perversion encounter. So like I was really upset that this was a part of my life again. So much so that like I told this friend, like, hey, we have to go to church because it was Sunday morning. And she said no, so I hit her. Spirit of dumb. Yeah, so praise God. Praise God for grace. So I was like, I was distraught. I think I was, this is the first time I feel like the Lord is really, really drawing me to repentance. So what I do is I confide in the school officials. And I'm so glad the school has this policy that like, because my friend didn't care about it. She's like, whatever. That it, like if you talk to the officials and like rather than them having find out something, they'll write it down and they'll just counsel you through it and you won't have to face disciplinary action. So wonderful. But they kicked me out anyway. Praise God they did. But and if you know, suspension in college is way worse because you fail all your classes and you owe all the tuition. So, wouldn't recommend 0 out of 10. All right, here we go. This is what the Lord says. A shepherd who tries to rescue a sheep from a lion's mouth will recover only 2 legs or a piece of an ear. So it will be for the Israelites in Samaria, lying on luxurious beds, and for the people of Damascus, reclining on couches. Therefore, I will bring you upon all the disasters I have announced. Prepare to meet your God in judgment, you people of Israel. Facts. All right, so let's see. Okay, so this photo, this is the only one I have to really expound on. So this summer after suspension, I was like really, really ashamed and depressed, okay? I don't know why this person took this photo, maybe for this account. So like, I am at a family function and I love family gatherings. That's like my stuff. And I am like overwhelmed with social anxiety with my family. Like, who is that? But like this, you know, when you give in to sin, you become something completely different from what the Lord designed you to be. I love people and I especially love my family. But here I was at this family function and somebody decided to take a picture of me like that. But real. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm still spirit of dumb. I'm on it. So because I was so ashamed of getting kicked out of school under the circumstances I got kicked out of school, I said, you know what? I'm just going to live with my dad in Wilmington. You know, like, screw this. And under those circumstances, it's just clear in life, anytime that I was under my dad's headship, that I was opening myself up to more. The Lord had really used my mother as a guard against certain things. And so So I started to get into this guy named G. Craig Lewis. I still like him, but I got into a paranoia, like a Left Behind paranoia. Yeah, yeah. So it really controlled me. I would be up all night obsessing about like the Antichrist and all that sort of stuff. And I didn't have any friends, even though I tried to join a church in North Carolina. And if you know Wilmington at all, it's a miracle that I could not find a job. There's like, and I was fast food jobs. I was there for like a couple of months, and I couldn't even get an interview. Like, what the heck is this? Like, why is nothing working? So because I was like, well, nothing's happening here, I decide to return to Dayton. And I am really ashamed and depressed. So much so that, like, I stay in the house for, like, weeks. Like, I don't shower. And I, like, literally spend my days laying on the floor looking at the ceiling. And then I avoided my grandfather because he was the one that really wanted me to go and get a four-year degree. That was something that was important to him. And, like, to come back home and, like, it's the middle of the semester and all of that. So after I would get up, I would play video games all day long. For those who are gamers here or understand games, you know how there's, like, a part of the game that's, like, a tutorial level or whatever. I played that until my character's maxed leveled. That's OCD. If you ever, like, if you understand video games, you know how ridiculous that is. That is completely ridiculous. Somebody got some mental health issues. All right. So I also delayed coming back to Solid Rock because same thing. It's like it's the middle of the semester and everybody was about celebrating me going and so excited about me finishing my degree or whatever. And so my agnosticism peaks. Like, none of this is real, you know? I can't trust a God that would let me, that would separate me from my friends. He can't be real. He doesn't know what's good. All right. And to the point where, like, I was investigating other religions. And like I said prior to this, that my baptism in the Holy Spirit happened a long time ago. So, like, I hear God, but I'm like, spirit of dumb. All right. And so I'm going to read the next verse. I myself will tend my sheep and give them a place to lie down in peace, says the sovereign Lord. I will search for my lost ones who strayed away, and I will bring them safely home again. I will bandage the injured and strengthen the weak. But I will destroy those who are fat and powerful. Powerful. I will feed them, yes, feed them justice. All right, praise God. So like, I get back to Dayton, and I'm really just about to, like, not be a Christian anymore. And the Holy Spirit, which I can recognize now, is like, you didn't even give Christianity a chance. You haven't read the whole Bible. So I started to read the Bible every day, and not with the intent of knowing God, only to know that God is fake. And so what happened after these 2 weeks is this friend that I got in an altercation with, she just called me and she's like, don't talk to me anymore. I'm like, whatever. And then my PlayStation became disgusting to me. Like the hours and hours I played of it, like, even though I got rid of it because I love God, it's just yuck for whatever reason. Because God is good is why it was yuck. And then I actually come back to talk to my grandfather. I came back to Dayton, and my grandfather, he's like, dude, I'm just happy to see you and that you're safe. And he's like, what, how much do you need? And he pays it off. Yeah. So this is this dude. He's a great dude. I love him. My papa. So, all right. Some were fools. They rebelled and suffered for their sins. They couldn't stand the thought of food, and they were knocking on death's door. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. Glory to his name, man. Let's go. He sent out his word and healed them, snatching them from the door of death. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and sing joyfully about his glorious acts. Glory to his name. All right. So, season of zeal. All right. So what happened next is, like, I was all about the scriptures, like, eating it up. Still a little OCD, I will admit, but I was eating it up. And so I started to have prayer meetings with my family. So, like, this family that I'm trying to avoid, we, like, start to, for the first time ever, gather around the scriptures on a regular basis, and it was, like, life. And I returned to Sinclair because, duh. And on a really, I don't want to rant on this, but on a really random happens chance, I ended up getting a 5-month job at Kroger, and not the Kroger I applied for, but because God knew that I was, as my spirit changed, I was drawn to other believers. And I remember, like, this is Liz and Jade, they were in my wedding, that, like, being drawn to especially Liz, because she had such a heart of gold. And you know, and I just really loved that. And so I got to spend time with her because I worked at Kroger for 5 months. And I ended up, while I was at Kroger, I shared the gospel with my grandfather. I ended up leaving Kroger because I wanted to spend time with him as he was passing. So, he came to Christ, and so good I got kicked out when I did. the Lord's like, you need to get back here. I have purpose. And Liz is actually the connection to GCF. Yeah. So, the three of us used to hang out, and we did this thing called Tour of Dayton, where we would go to different restaurants and just try stuff. And it was fun. You know, just something we did as, you know, three Christian girls, you know, serving the Lord together. And one night, I remember I called Liz or texted her, and I was like, hey, Liz, I got some time. You want to go get dinner? She's like, I can't. I'm giving a presentation. It's like, a presentation? What do you mean? I want to come. And so I ended up coming. And go back. Okay, so I ended up attending this presentation, which was at GCF. Yeah, and like, Liz didn't even tell me anything about what she was doing. It was just I happened to call her for dinner that night, which was not an every night thing. And it was really a powerful thing. Some of the people might be here. And then I met Greg at this presentation, okay? And what was really impactful for me was that Greg attended my graduation, which you might be like, oh, that's nice or whatever, but my parents didn't. So, now this dude, I'm in his audience now. I'm like, wow, I feel like you really care about me because you made the time to come. All right. So he challenged me on my eschatology, which was much needed. And then confronted me on my lifestyle. Because one of the really big themes in my life up to now is aimlessness. Like, I'm just, the Lord is happening to help my stumbling be in the right direction. Because I didn't have any plans for anything. And I was, like, living with my mom, and it's time to not. And then my grandmother dies. I finished my associates, which is like the first time that I finished something really just because it was a good thing to do and not somebody pushing me to do it. All right, so glory be to God. And then we have, yes, Moved out of my mom's house. So I did this really abruptly, and this led to a season of a couple of years of us being estranged, which maybe I could have done it better, but maybe it was the Lord's will for it to go that way. Either way, here we are. And Jennifer, she helped me get a big girl job. Hopefully she's listening. Thanks, Jennifer. So, like, I'm really, like, not being a child. And at this point, I'm, like, 27, 28. And then, you know, we're all on a journey of sanctification. And so I definitely had a pendulum swing from legalism to licentiousness. And so, which, you know, was my own fault because you know better and then you just don't do better. Yeah. So I probably drank way too much. I probably spent way too much time wasting time. I didn't really care about my health. I wasn't serious about this job that the Lord really blessed me with but allowed me to keep. I mentioned her by name because she was first. I feel like, you know, hopefully she's watching. She'll watch later. Thanks, Amber, for being my friend. because I feel like when I moved into the Red House, Amber was the only one living there. And it was just a powerful thing that, like, I could be one person with her. When it was, like, all of this life of duality that, like, the Lord allowed me to just be one person. And I also went through some deliverance and inner healing, which you need it because that stuff is weighty and it's hard to move forward when you are weighed down with the cares of the past. All right, Josiah! Yeah! I think he's at home with the babies or in the other women. He might still be here. Jeremiah, maybe. Okay. So, like, it wasn't long after. I was like, this dude, I'm gonna marry him. Which was kind of a shocker for me. Because, no, not to say that to marrying him was shocking, but like I knew in my spirit that I wanted to marry him, but it wasn't an obsessive thing. So much so that like when we were dating, he was like concerned, do you even like spending time with me? But the Lord had done a work in my heart, but like I don't have to like fight for his affection. I don't have to like strive to make him choose me. He already did. Amen. Fun thing. I used to kind of hate being black. Well. Jean-Luc. it's crazy. And so this time, I'm going to a school not because of some weirdo obsession, but I enroll so that we can start a ministry there, okay? So it's like I'm not going for stupid. And then I also at Central State, I kind of fell more in love with my blackness. So it seemed random, but it was very purposeful. And a fun fact that while Josiah's parents were dating, they evangelized at Central State. Yeah, yeah, so the Lord brings it all around. In the 80s, two white people? I don't know. They did it. They're awesome people. And so, like, we got engaged. This is our engagement photo. Look at him, bare face. He looked, yeah. And then Josiah, like a redeemer, it was like, I had stacked up a lot of debt because I not only was at a very expensive school, I was one of those silly people that like, you know, let me just call and arrange with Sally Mae so they can have a smaller payment. And then like before we got married, completely aware of this, he's like, yeah, we can do this. And my mom comes back in the picture at the wedding tasting. Oh. So, yeah, like, I'm so glad that, you know, she was cool enough after all that time to be like, okay, I'll come. And like, yeah, who this? New number, but whatever. But yeah, so there's Josiah. And then marriage. Yeah. That happened right here, you guys. Yeah, so GCF is really central in my life. So, like, even though you get married, that a lot of times you still have to work through that sort of trauma, and it doesn't really come up until you are married. And so it took a long time, not, I'm gonna say a long time, it took a while to get started because of all the shame that I really was undealt with and condemnation. But man, Josiah is gracious, gracious, gracious. And okay, and then something else happened. Like I said, sometimes I still, I have an obsession with BTS. You probably heard me talk about it. Yep. You think it's funny? And it's funny in that you would expect that from somebody who's 15. But yeah, like I would, just like any idol, they demand a sacrifice. That I just didn't realize that I was sacrificing evenings and nights with my husband, not that it was like all the time, but to watch music videos, to read gossip, to memorize trivia about them. And to the point that like, it became like a romantic thing, like spirit of dumb, okay? So if you don't know, BTS is a K-pop boy band, okay? So yeah. So I and I told Josiah about that, and like, which was healing in itself because not talking about a thing was characterized who, all of who I was, and like he still enjoyed me, and we like and just that act gave me stability to like even more so be a single person and in a sense to be like a woman, you know. That like, that it's, you know, it's, I have weaknesses, but it doesn't make me not beautiful. And like, Barbie is not femininity, like, you know, and what that looks like is different. And it is still, I still fall under that definition in beautiful ways. And so then we paid off the debts together. By God's grace, we did it together. And then, yes, our beautiful little boys, by God's grace. We're doing good on time. So I really, like, strengthened the independence and providing for myself. And, you know, like, so many of my counselors are like, don't leave your job. Don't set your safety net on fire. And that was really kind of a difficult thing for me to do because, like, I'm going to have to rely on him. Like, do I he paid off the bills. I mean, like, if it's anybody, it would be Josiah. But I have to live my life in such a way that I trust him to be faithful, trust him to choose me every day, to choose us every day. Because not only is it that I'm leaving my job, I am pregnant, so this has to work. This has to work. And what a miracle that happened, which I couldn't have predicted, that my boss was disgruntled with the company, okay? And we were finance professionals. And so she did something. She paid me out better than the retirees. They upgraded my rate from 16 something to 22 something and continued to pay me almost 6 months after I left, just at the full rate. And so I was so afraid of not having provision, and like I get to be like cuddling my baby and making the same amount of money as I was, more money for most of the time when I was sitting in that stupid office. Praise God for it. It paid off the debt. And then we bought the red house. Okay. And I forgot to list this here, but it's a very important bringing it all back. So like when I got moved to the red house, I was petrified of my mom because I was pretty unkind in the way I handled that. And I was afraid that she would find me. I was afraid that she would do something because she can be a spicy lady. It's crazy that after he was born, before he turned one, my mother and I, out loud in the Red House, read the entire Bible together in 90 days. Yeah, and she had never read the Bible cover to cover yet. And so the Lord just really brought it full circle. Yeah, and then Jeremiah was born. And then after Jeremiah was born, I was kind of thinking, like, I kind of need to do something. I feel like I could do more. And then this opportunity popped up with Sean, which, by God's grace, hourly, I made even more than that. And to think that I could do this in such a way where it was a benefit to my children rather than taking me away from it. And, like, who could imagine that the Lord could orchestrate things such a way that the things that I was afraid of, he was already laid it out, you know? He ordered, you know? He ordered my steps. He gave me the righteousness. And then we have this little one right here. And I was really worried about having a second one because I was just thinking, like, if I have a second one, what if they hate each other? What if I don't have the wavelength to care for Jeremiah? What if they don't get along? And look what I stumbled upon one night. Yeah. So the Lord, he is so good. Let's see, one more. All right. The Lord did not set his heart on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other nations, for you were the smallest of all nations. Rather, it was simply that the Lord loves you, and he was keeping the oath he had sworn to your ancestors. That is why the Lord rescued you with such a strong hand from your slavery and from the oppressive hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love and obey his commandments. Oh, all right. So this is the conclusion. This is little me. The Lord began his pursuit of me before I ever thought of him. He chose me long before his loving kindness drew me to repentance. He gloriously paid for me with his blood to enjoy me for all eternity. All right. Any questions? Oh. Okay, go ahead. I think I pray for him to come to Christ, and I think a lot of the wrath that I had towards him, it dissipated after going through some forgiveness exercises, understanding, like, without Christ, so go I, and I can't expect him to be like a Christ follower, and he's not. I just pray that he comes to Christ. I hope that the whole reason I was born, that's one on the list. But, you know, praise God for, you know, either way, yeah.
The grandparents you were talking about, are they your mother's?
They're my mother's parents,
yeah. Did you ever know your father's parents?
I knew my dad's mother. And it's interesting, a lot of times before big events in my life, they pass away. And so I think it was 3 days before our wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might have been there, Jane. I was sitting in the, yeah, that was, yeah, that was, yeah, because by that time I had moved into our apartment on Woodman, and like I'm supposed to be getting ready for a wedding, and I'm just terrible, and a lot of my family didn't make it because of that, yeah, so, but yeah, it's God's grace. Not as much as I wish.
Do they live here?
They live in Dayton. I see them when my parents come to town. No hate on them. The circumstances just put us in a place where it was hard for us to have a good relationship. I wouldn't say exactly. I think I wouldn't say that, like, I was hearing the Lord in the same way I was before, because I was more so like reading the scriptures and memorizing the scriptures ferociously. And that's one thing I really appreciate about Dayton Christian. We had to memorize so much scripture. But it really was a foundation for me hearing the voice of God. And then, like, when I started to be obsessive about reading the Bible, which was a good thing, I read it every day without fail for 3.5 years. And I wrote, and it was about 7 chapters a day. And but then I got obsessive about journaling prayers. So, like, it had to be a certain word count and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. I mean, like making an idol out of control looks very different, and it can look very different from time to time. But yeah, I would say that it wasn't until I started to join in with Amber in Sozo's ministry that I really kind of came back to praying in tongues more often, or seeking to hearing the voice of God and expecting to hear the voice of God. Any other questions? Oh, I took too long. I'm so sorry. I told him. I'm sorry, sorry.
Thank you so much.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, he is good. And especially when I'm not. Yeah. Yes, you guys have, Lord, I just thank you so much for your goodness in my life, and I just pray that this blesses people. Amen.